We have two readings this morning, one from the Gospels and one from the New Testament. The first New Testament reading is from Romans 12 and or 14, and we're reading from verse 1 to 12. The weak and the strong. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarrelling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so for the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so for the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Moving on then to the gospel reading, and it's in Matthew. And it's in Matthew chapter 18, reading from verse 21. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he pleaded, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Amen.
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we have heard your word read to us, and as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit in our understanding, And then help us to have that same spirit as we live accordingly to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story which I've told before, but it illustrates well our theme for today. A group of blind men heard that a strange animal called an elephant had been brought to the town, but none of them were aware of its shape or form. They'd never seen an elephant before. So out of curiosity, they said, "We must inspect this creature and know it by touch." So they found it, and each went around feeling around the elephant. So the first person whose hand touched the trunk said, "This being is like a thick snake." Another one whose hand reached its ear said, "It seems like a kind of fan." Another person whose hand was upon its leg said, "This elephant is a pillar like a tree trunk." And the blind man who's placed his hand upon its side said the elephant was like a wall. Another who felt its tail described it as a rope. And the last man who felt its tusk stated that the elephant was hard, smooth, like a spear. Different cultures have a variation on this same parable, but the teaching remains clear. All of us have a limited perspective, which brings us to conclusions which are not necessarily always accurate. Each of us, as followers of Christ, have our different personalities and we have our different perspectives. It would be a really dull place if we were all the same, wouldn't it? So in our lectionary readings for today, both the New Testament readings pick up this similar theme of interpersonal relationships in how we support, encourage, and care for each other. The context of Romans 14 is about Paul writing to the Roman church. It's made up of small groups coming together from different backgrounds. Some are Jewish and some are Gentile. And they come together as followers of Jesus, but from very different cultures and backgrounds. The whole chapter is about how we treat others who differ with us on different points of Christian practice. It's about allowing space for others to hold different practices to yourself, as long as there are no biblical prohibitions, and still regard everyone as being part of the church family. So often we've heard it said, maybe we've even said it ourselves in the past, so-and-so can't be a Christian because they, and you fill in the blanks. In the past generation, many believe that you couldn't go to the cinema and be a Christian. The two were simply incompatible. Then, of course, the reading from Matthew 18 is all about the need to forgive others because we owe an even bigger debt to God. So putting this all together, this is about showing grace to one another, allowing space for others to observe different practices than yourself, and showing that Christian love through offering mercy as we have received mercy. The Romans reading then picks up a couple of live issues in the church at that time. One regarded diet, and the other the observance of so-called special days. Apparently some in the church felt that to stay close to God, they should have some dietary restrictions and be vegetarians. Paul calls this group the weak group. The so-called weak group were probably those coming from a Jewish background. They'd got used to having certain diets in their Jewish culture and traditions. The so-called strong group were made up of Gentiles. They didn't believe that it mattered when it came to what you ate. So you could easily eat meat and it wasn't a problem. Also, the issue there was about certain days. The weak group believed that certain days should be considered as more holy than others, and the so-called strong group believed that every day is special and holy under God. But here was the problem in the Roman church. It was that each of these groups were passing judgment on the other group. They weren't showing care for one another. We know the teaching of Jesus recorded in Matthew 7 at verse 1, don't judge people, and you won't be judged yourself. You'll be judged, you see, by the judgments you use to judge others. It's interesting that our lectionary reading just finishes off at verse 12, because actually the rest of the chapter, and I encourage you to go back later and read this and then go into chapter 15 as well, because it talks about not putting a stumbling block in front of someone else. In other words, yes, you might win the argument, but that is of no value. And in fact, even more than that, it is detrimental to church family relationships if you end up causing another person to stumble in their faith. We really do tend to get wrapped up in church practices, don't we? And who's right and who's wrong. Now, we can apply this to a local setting as a congregation, but we can also apply this to the worldwide family of the church. Love is always the highest law, which is why I am unashamedly ecumenical. I may have been criticized by others in the past, and so be it. There's always going to be differences of practices within the worldwide Christian family. Even within the Methodist family, there are different practices throughout the world. But these should never be allowed to cause division and disunity, because I believe that breaks the heart of God. And in fact, as Romans 14 reminds us, to argue about it means that you're passing judgment on another, and passing judgment is the sole prerogative of the Lord. As a follower of Christ, we no longer live for ourselves, but for God. And that means behaving in a way that is loving, kind, and gracious. So actually, if you move into Romans 15 at verse 2, each one of us should please our neighbor for his or her good to build them up. This is about encouraging and supporting each other in their faith. And being in this family of God includes valuing mercy. Forgiveness is a huge issue and often a very sensitive matter. The disciples wrestled with this. Of course, we know that story. We heard it. Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as seven times. The number seven represented perfection. So Peter may have been thinking that after forgiving someone seven times, the offended party had actually done enough, had done their bit. And then we know the Lord's reply, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, depending which translation you read. It makes it clear, though, that forgiveness is limitless. This is a mark of the Christian community, but it's tough. It's tough. We need the Lord's grace when it comes to showing mercy to another. We can't do it on our own. We need the Spirit to help us. Of course, Jesus makes this clear through his illustration. A man owed his master a sum of money which he couldn't pay back. He pleaded for mercy. The master granted him mercy, released him from his debt. The same man who had been shown mercy then in turn is owed some money by one of his servants. And now the tables are turned, but the servant is unable to pay back the loan, which is much smaller, and he asks for mercy. But this time the one who had been forgiven much refuses to forgive this man and throws him in prison until he can repay his debt. Well, the story continues that the master gets to hear about this and passes judgment then on this first servant and has him thrown into prison. The teaching is clear. A As we have been forgiven a huge debt we owe to God, so we must forgive others. And again, we're reminded that God is judge. It's not our role to pass judgment on others. See, this is all about loving God and showing our love to God through loving others, especially those within the family of God. 1 John 2, verse 9 says, "If anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still in darkness." Following Christ is shown through putting the needs of others before self. So thinking back on the Romans 14 passage, don't let how you practice your Christian faith cause another person to stumble in their faith. One life issue for us in the church in the midst of this pandemic, locally and universally, is the public gathering and regathering for worship. As you know, we're opening the church for public worship again in a couple of weeks' time on the 27th of September. And this is not going to be a case of, you know, the strong group versus the weak group like it was in the church in Rome at that time. Some people will not come out to church because perhaps they don't yet feel confident. Perhaps they have underlying health issues and in fact they shouldn't be out of church. And perhaps they've been advised and encouraged by other family members to not come out and attend worship. On the other hand, some will feel that they want to come out and attend and it's safe and appropriate for them to do so. But here's the issue. Those who will attend should never condemn those who feel that it is not appropriate for them to attend. And those who attend, who don't attend, should not condemn those who feel that it is appropriate to attend. Because in the end, being part of God's family isn't about whether or not you attend public worship or how many times on a Sunday you do it, but about offering your worship to the Lord and showing your love for God and for neighbor, for each other. Within the family of God, we are different. We hold different views and perspectives. Views that are contrary to others. We observe practices that others don't and vice versa. And in all of this, we are not to pass judgments on others, but to seek ways to build each other up in the faith. We need to learn to disagree well. Let me bring this to a close with a story. It's a story of a minister who met with his leaders to discuss a certain issue within the life of the church. He held one position and all the other leaders held the exact opposite position on this matter. Well, one of the members said to the minister, "You're outvoted 11 to 1 on the matter." Well, the minister stood up. He raised his hands dramatically and prayed. Then suddenly there was a sound of thunder, a flash of lightning, and the large table in the middle of the room cracked into two. The room was filled with smoke, and all the leaders were thrown onto the floor. But the minister remained standing, hands raised. Well, one of the leaders got up from under the table, his hair singed, glasses broken, and says, "Okay, that makes it 11 to 2, but we still have the majority." Within the Christian community, there will always be disagreements and disputes, especially over matters of Christian practice. But it is how we deal with them that shows our values. We are a community which holds certain values. These include showing grace to others who practice their faith in a different way to how we do it. It involves showing mercy to others as God has shown mercy to us in Christ. And it involves putting love at the center of all that we are and all that we do. Amen. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we thank you that as our Heavenly Father, you draw us together as your family. And as we hold different views on different things, whether it be practices that we observe within our faith, that you would help us to be gracious, that you would help us to be kind and generous to each other. Help us to be forgiving people as you have forgiven us in Christ. And help us to be filled with your love in all things. Amen.